is a marvellous thing, the grace of God and the great salvation which we enjoy in the Lord Jesus. I had a man ring me this afternoon and wanted to know if I could save him. And I said, no, I can't, but I can tell you someone who can, amen. 1 John chapter 2, and let's read together from verse 15 down to verse 29. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 29, if we can read together tonight. Starting there in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time tonight together. And Lord, as we've already expressed, Lord, the blessing of being able to sing the hymns of the faith. And Lord, particularly, Lord, the great salvation which is ours in the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we once again marvel and can only praise you and thank you, Lord, for your mercies to us. And Lord, we thank you that the salvation we have is full and free. Lord, it's a salvation that enables us to have eternal life, a relationship with our God from now on out through eternity. Because of those five wounds that cry on our behalf. Lord, how we thank you and we bless you tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would bless our time in your word. May it be an encouragement and, Lord, a blessing to us. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, verse 28 we want to look at tonight. And now, little children, abide in him. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, I want us to add this verse to our memory verses, okay? I think we've got five so far, is that correct? We're working on five? Nobody's sure. That's good. That means you've all memorized them so well you can't even remember how many there were. Okay, let's say those five first of all, and let's say them backwards. You say, what's backwards? in the past, we've always said them in a particular order. Let's say them in the reverse order. What's the last one we've been saying? 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we want to add to this 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. All right, let's say that together. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Anybody know it already? David, see if you can say it. Amen. All right, let's say it together. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. All right, now I'm going easy on you because I'm only asking you so far to memorize two verses out of 1 John. I'm currently in the process of memorizing 1 John. And so, if you want to catch up, that's okay. But I just say that so if you think two verses is too hard, then relax. Try the whole book and then see how you go. Amen. All right. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And now John is building on those things he's already said in the previous verses. And he's dealt with the Antichrist and those with that spirit of Antichrist and the anointing and so forth that we have from the Lord. And he says, and now, little children, again, the reference here, little children, is the same in verse 12. That's including all believers. That's including those who are children, those who are young men, and those who are men in the faith or the older, spiritually mature. So he's talking to all believers and whatever the maturity level. And John says, and now, little children, abide in him. And the idea of abiding is to stay or to remain, to live in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And each time I think about this, I think about John chapter 15, because John chapter 15 is a tremendous illustration that the Lord Jesus uses to teach us this principle about abiding. So I want us to turn to John 15. And let's remind ourselves again of this great truth of abiding in the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? We are abiding in him. To stay or to remain in him. In John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And notice verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And there's a tremendous picture there for us of the vine and the branches. And it's a very practical example that the Lord gives us here. We all know, perhaps what I should know, what a grapevine looks like. And we know what happens when we cut the vine off. The branch off the vine, that's the end of the branch. Unless you're going to cut it and maybe try and get a new vine out of that. But assuming we're just cutting that off and leaving it, then the branch is finished. It needs to abide. It needs to be joined, united with the vine if it's going to bring forth any fruit. And the Lord Jesus is saying, you need to abide in me. In the same way that that branch abides in the vine, you are to abide in me. You are to be joined. You are to be united. You are to be in fellowship with me. That's the idea, to live in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And then he gives these practical points here as to whether or not we are abiding. You know, so I'm not sure whether I'm abiding or not. Well, let's ask ourselves a couple of questions based on what the Lord Jesus said here. Notice in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now, there's a couple of thoughts there. Number one, are you bringing forth fruit? Think about your life. The Lord Jesus said, if you abide in me, then you will bring forth even, he says, much fruit. But notice also he says, for without me you can do nothing. Now, if we're a true branch abiding in the vine, then our life will be a life lived in dependence upon God. We will not be depending on our talents, our abilities, our whatever. It'll be a life that is totally yielded and depending upon the true vine, the Lord Jesus, for all the resources that I need to live the Christian life. All of them. So you ask yourself the question, am I abiding in the Lord? Well, are you totally dependent upon the Lord for every aspect of your Christian life? Are you in that sense joined to him? Are you considering this fact, for without me you can do nothing? Lord, I acknowledge that, and therefore I am going to stay in this close fellowship with you so that I can bring forth fruit, because I am not able to do it myself. You see the point? We sometimes get the idea that, well, I'll just do this and I'll do that. I always like it when people put on the end of that, by the grace of God, or if God enables, or if God allows, or if God helps me. But I'm always a little worried when someone says, well, I'm just going to do that. And the intention might be good, and the idea might be good, but are you depending on the vine for the ability and the enabling to fulfill that and to carry through with it? If you are, then you are abiding in the vine. You notice in verse 7 here, John 15, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, here's another test. Am I abiding in the vine? Or am I just one of these, you know, we call them loose cannons, wandering around? I'm a Christian, but look out. Because the Lord Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What sort of prayer life do we have? What sort of prayer life do you and I have? Do you know that when you get down, you're confident that God's going to hear you? Are you confident that when you ask God something, that he's going to answer? Oh, I don't know, I just pray and kind of keep my fingers crossed. Well, that's not how we're supposed to pray, amen? We're supposed to pray abiding in him, his word abiding in us, and then we will have this confidence in prayer. All right, so the idea of abiding, the branch abiding in the vine, it's always a blessing to me to think about that. The union there, this indissoluble union we have with Christ, if we maintain that union. Now, we can never lose our position in Christ, but we can lose this position we have as a branch. In other words, if we get cut off from the Lord, as it were, through sin, then we're still a branch, and we're still in the vine in one sense, but we're not abiding in that vine. We're no longer abiding there. And that's what we need to do. Come back to 1 John chapter 2. Again, we're just asking ourselves for the moment, am I really abiding in the Lord? Am I abiding in him? Am I bringing fruit? Am I totally dependent upon him for every aspect of my life? Am I getting my prayers answered? You have a look in 1 John. We've looked here previously in chapter 2 and verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. You say, well, I'm abiding in the Lord. Good, are you walking as he walked? See, it's a practical test, isn't it? And that's what I like about God's word and the Christian life. It's very, very practical. Am I walking as he walked? Are there things in my life that the Lord Jesus would or not do, would do, not do, etc.? Am I, because John says, you know, he that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Am I walking? Do other people see that I'm walking as a Christian ought to walk? Walking as he walked. And then you see there in verse 10 where he says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Remember in verse 7 of chapter 1, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so John says here in verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There's none occasion of stumbling in him. So we ask ourselves the question, if I am abiding in him, if I'm in the light as he is in the light, do I have a real love for the brethren? Do I have a real love for the brethren? Am I? You say, how do you know whether you've got a love for the brethren? Well, ask yourself the question, do you pray daily for each other or for one another? Each day, do I pray for those who I know in the Lord who are here tonight? Would you be able to say, yes, I pray each day, everybody here tonight, I prayed for them today? You say, oh, well, you know, I didn't have time. Well, where's your priorities? If you have a love for the brethren, then you ought to be praying for the brethren, amen? All I do every now and then when God brings it to mind. That's good, I think. Daily, I pray for everybody by name before the Lord. Daily. You say, you're boasting? No, I'm not boasting. I'm just trying to encourage you. You know, the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I believe it's a good thing that if we pray for each other daily. You say, I don't know what to pray for. Well, have a look at some of Paul's prayers for the believers if you don't know anything else. At least pray that the Lord would have a hedge of protection about each other. At least pray that the Lord would give you opportunity to witness to someone. At least pray that someone wouldn't get discouraged. Pray that they would be encouraged in the Lord and pray for one another. You see, if we're abiding in the vine has got great concern for the branches, amen? And so if we say we're abiding in him, then where is our concern for the brethren? Where is our love for the brethren? Well, I don't know what to pray. Well, tell God that. God, I don't know what to pray, but at least I can run their names by him. You know, Paul said to the different churches, he said, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Always in every prayer of mine, I make mention of you. Now, I think sometimes when I'm praying, I don't necessarily spend a half an hour every day praying for every individual. I mean, I'm still there, you know, a week later. But I can at least make mention of everybody. And then I can pray in perhaps what you'd say a general sense, Lord, please pour out your spirit upon us. And Lord, quicken us. And Lord, help us to know your will. And Lord, help us to put a desire in our hearts to want to please you, Lord. And help us to live for you, Lord. And we can do all that. But let me encourage you, if you don't do it, then get a prayer list out. Write everybody's name down. So I can't remember, write them down. If you're not sure who they are, let me introduce them to you. And you can write them down, amen? And then pray for one another. See, when we're abiding in the vine, then we're going to have a concern for the brethren. And one of the best ways to help any brother or sister in the Lord is to do what? Pray for them. Why is it the missionaries constantly ask us to pray for them? Because they know that God answers prayer. And James can say, you have not because you ask not. Now we need to consider that. Am I abiding in him? Abide in him. Imagine that. Abide in him. Then what? Then the Bible says there in verse 28, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, when he shall appear, and he says at the end of that, at his coming. So he's got there this thought of the Lord coming back, the Lord Jesus coming again. So he says, with that thought in mind, the thought of the Lord Jesus coming back, he said, we, when he shall appear, we may have confidence. John says, I'm part of this. I'm not just here writing you and telling you what to do. John says, I'm part of this. I'm telling you now that we need to abide in the little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. Lord, we may have confidence about what? Well, we'll look at that as well. We may have confidence. And the idea of confidence is, first of all, we'll say what it means here. May have. That we may have. The idea is that the fellowship that I am enjoying now will continue on until the Lord appears, and then will continue on out through eternity. Don't have to make a lot of adjustments. I'm already in fellowship with the Lord. I'm abiding in him. I'm walking with him. I'm in fellowship with him. And when he comes, I just continue it on. You see, that's what John is trying to say here. When he shall appear, we may have this ongoing, the confidence. And the confidence is this idea of there's a freedom in speaking. There's a free and boldness and assurance that we have. So I'm abiding in him. And then if I'm abiding in him, then we may have confidence. We may have confidence. You have a look in verse 21 of chapter 3. Just to want us to see just a couple of thoughts about this idea of confidence. In verse 21 of chapter 3, beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. If our heart condemns us not, we have confidence toward God. In chapter 4 and verse 17, he doesn't use the word confidence there, but he uses the word boldness, which is the same word. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And then you look in chapter 5 and verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Remember in John 15, he's speaking about prayer. And if we abide in him and his word abides in us, we'll ask what we will and it shall be done unto us. And so again, we have this idea of confidence. Why? Because I'm abiding in the vine. And when I'm abiding in the vine, the Spirit of God is moving in my life, and he is the one who is energizing me. He's the one who's enabling me and empowering me. And I'm going to know the mind of God, the mind of Christ. And so I'm going to be able to have confidence when I pray. And so this idea of confidence is the same thing that John is talking about here in verse 28. That we have confidence. There's a great freedom. There's a great boldness. There's a great liberty there. You have a look in Acts chapter 4 and you see this word used again, used in the way of boldness rather than, he doesn't say confidence, but it's the same idea. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, and the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, or the confidence of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned, unignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. May I suggest to you that these were men who were abiding in the Lord. And because they were abiding in the Lord, they were able to speak with great boldness or great confidence. And you have a look a little further down in this chapter, and you notice there in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold, they are praying. They've been rebuked and challenged and told they're going to be beaten and all the things, the threats that they've been given. They go back and they have a prayer meeting. And in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Lord, we're praying that we'll have great boldness or great confidence when we speak. When I speak to people with the gospel, I'm very confident that that is what God would have me speak to them. I go, oh, I'm not sure. I just want to apologize. You don't know. I spoke to a man on Friday, a wreck of a man, literally. Wreck of a human being. And first time I'd been able to sit down and speak with him, I'd met him just briefly before. Went to his place, just a wreck. And he says, I messed up my life and everything else, but I could say with great confidence, the answer is in the Word of God. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can speak that with great boldness or great confidence. Remember the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. This man who rings me today and says, you know, I want you to save me. I said, I can't save you, but I've got great confidence in someone who can, amen. I've got great confidence in the gospel message. The apostle said, Lord, grant unto thy servants that with all confidence or with all boldness they may speak thy word. Did God answer that? Notice verse 30, 31, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness or with confidence. Guess what? God answered their prayer. Why? Because they were abiding in the vine. God wants you and I to be able to speak out the word of God and the gospel with boldness, with confidence. Oh, but I don't know what they want to hear. Too bad. Just tell them anyway. But they might get mad. Too bad. Tell them anyway. They might say, don't come back. They might. We had a man say that on Thursday. Was it Friday? I don't know what day it was. We've been talking to a few people this week. He said, don't come back. I said, I won't. I said, remember this. Except a man be born again, he will not see the kingdom. Confidence in that. Boldness. You say, that was a bit daring. No, that's the confidence that I have in the gospel and in God and his word. God gives you that. God gives you that. Remember, that's, you say, well, that's just you. That's your personality. No, me, I'm going to sit down the river in a little hut with a fishing rod and keep out of the road of everybody. That suits me better. But that's not what God wants me to do. And so I have to say, Lord, I can't do it. But I'm a branch and I want to be abiding in the vine, Lord, so that you will give me this confidence to be able to share the gospel with others. Does God answer that? He does. He does. He does. And so that's the thought here. Have a look in Hebrews chapter 4 and we see again this idea of confidence. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, the word of God says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now we could spend a long time just on that verse. The Lord Jesus knows exactly where we are at. He knows exactly what we're going through because he's been there. We would say he's been there, done that. And notice what that brings then in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly or with confidence under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In other words, when I come to pray, I don't come, or I ought not to come with doubts and fears and think, well, I don't know, and maybe God doesn't understand or God's a long way off, whatever. No, I have confidence because our high priest has been where I'm going. He's been there before me. He's the forerunner. He's the one who's now gone in behind the veil. But he is the one in whom we have our confidence. And so when we come to the throne of grace, when we come to prayer, then we ought to come confidently, amen? But not in our own merits. Not in our own merits. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We obtain mercy and we find grace to help in time of need. You have a look at the same thought in chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10. And he gives a little more thought here, verse 19. Verse 9, he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's the confidence, the boldness that we have by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Right? We have this confidence, this boldness. Who would dare, really, you think about it, who would dare, anybody in their right mind, would just walk into the God's throne room, here I am, in and of themselves, be consumed in a moment. You think of Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire, bang, fire came out and consumed them. They had confidence, all right, but it wasn't confidence coming in the way that God had ordained. But if we come the way that God has ordained through the blood of Christ and we come into the holiest on that basis, then we can come confidently. We come with boldness, not because we are worthy, but because he is. And so in 1 John 2, he says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. And then notice the opposite to that, and not be ashamed before him. Not be ashamed. John said, we ought to come with confidence, but it is possible to be ashamed. We don't want to be ashamed before him at his coming. The idea here of not be ashamed is in shame, shrinking from him. Or the idea is shrinking from him because of or through some shame of consciousness of guilt. I can't face the Lord because I know whatever we know that ought not be there. John says, no, we ought to have confidence. If we're abiding in the Lord, then we can have confidence. Because the only way we can abide in the Lord means we're walking right. If we're abiding in Him, then we are walking right. We're in fellowship with Him. And so we can have confidence. But if we're one of these loose cannons living the Christian life a little bit under our own steam and everything else, then we are going to be ashamed. It's as simple as that. And that's why he says, abide in Him. When he may appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. We won't have to have this guilt, this thinking of, oh no, oh dear, or whatever. Luke 22, classic example which we all know well, illustrates the point, I believe, in Luke 22. In verse 54, then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Notice what happens now. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Think about it. What did the Lord Jesus told Peter? Peter, you are going to deny me 3 times. Peter said, no way, I will deny you. I will die before I deny you. Now, the Lord said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. He's denied him 3 times, and now the Bible says the cock crew. And at that point, the Lord turned and looked at him. I don't know what that look was like, but I'm glad I wasn't Peter right then, amen? And notice, though, what happened. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And here's what happened. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter was ashamed. Peter was feeling very, very guilty. He's the one who stood up, I won't deny you, Lord, though all men forsake you. I won't. I'll die before that happens. Lord says, Peter, you will. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. After you be converted, then you can be a comfort to the brethren. But you're going to deny me. Peter says, no way. Now imagine if you're Peter. And you've denied the Lord once, and you've denied him twice, and you've denied him 3 times, and you're starting to get a little hostile, and you're starting to get a little angry, because the Bible says in another place he did it with cursings. And then you hear that rooster crow. Uh-oh. And then the Lord looks at you. Double uh-oh. You think he might have been just a little ashamed, just a little bit guilty? Well, we know he was. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Praise God, he did what he did at the end. He wept bitterly. How much better if he had been abiding still in the branch at that point when the Lord said, you will deny me. If he were truly living in the grace and strength of that abiding life at that point, he could have said, Lord, I will not deny you. By your grace, I'll not do it. But Lord, only by your grace. Because I know myself too well. I'm a big mouth and I often put my foot in my mouth. And I'm just as likely to deny even though I say I won't. But I'm going to trust you to give me the grace. You see, abiding, he would have come through that no problem, I believe. God would have given him the grace. that branch abiding in the vine. But no, he wasn't doing that. He wasn't abiding. He was confident in himself. Trust me, Lord. Trust me, Lord. Well, Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was ashamed. The Lord turned and looked at him, and he was ashamed. And think about that in the context of this passage tonight and our own lives. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. For you and I, are we abiding in him? Am I abiding in him? Am I totally dependent upon the true vine for everything? Do I have that kind of confidence in prayer? Do I have that confidence in approaching God? Do I walk as he walked? Do I have this love for the brethren, or would I be ashamed at his coming? Would I be ashamed? You know, it's interesting that this verse follows verse 15, isn't it? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Imagine for those believers who love the world and the things that are in the world, they are going to be ashamed at the Lord Jesus coming. They'll be ashamed at his coming. They're not abiding in him, they have a love for the world, and so there's only one result. They're going to be ashamed at his coming. They'll be like Peter, and they'll be weeping bitterly before the Lord. Now, you and I ought to be able to have confidence at that time. That's what John's saying. Little children, come on, you children of God. Abide in him so that when he appears, you'll have confidence. There'll be great liberty and great boldness, and you won't have to kind of sneak in behind the crowd and hope that the Lord doesn't see you type of thing, you know. Why? Because we're ashamed. We're ashamed. We know there were things we did or didn't do and all that kind of thing. We're ashamed. Are you abiding now? Imagine if we could put it this way, and we'll close out. This last week we've lived, God says, okay, we're going to have a replay of last week. And let's have a look at it. I wonder if how many would sit back and say, this is going to be interesting. I'm feeling pretty comfortable about it. Or would we go, Lord, can I just leave the room while you show that? I'm... You get the message, amen. Things we do, things we listen to, things we watch, all that kind of thing. Are we going to be ashamed? Or are we going to have this confidence, this boldness, whereby we can stand up as the Lord comes and say, praise the Lord. It's so good that you've come, Lord. And I've just been expecting and waiting and watching as you told me to do, and watch and be ready. And Lord, that's what I've been doing. And I'm just excited that you've finally come. I've been praying like John did in the book of Revelation. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Or do we go the other way and say, oh, Lord, I trust tonight that we won't be ashamed, but that we'll have confidence before him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for our time together tonight. And Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the practicality of it, Lord, that you've told us to abide in you. And we say, what's that mean? And then you show us in different passages, Lord, what that means. How we can test if we are abiding. If we are that branch which is in constant union with the true vine. May that be the testimony of each of us, Lord. May we be confident, have that great liberty and freedom and assurance that if you'd appear even right now, Lord, that we wouldn't be ashamed, Lord. We'd be rejoicing that you've come, and we'd be rejoicing at what lies ahead. Father, maybe someone here tonight, though, Lord, would be ashamed. You know their hearts, Lord. We're not looking for a show of hands or anything else. But, Father, if there's anybody here tonight who would not be confident, but they would be ashamed, I pray that they would give serious thought to whatever it is that you put your finger upon in their life, and they would yield that area to you, Lord. They would understand that without you they can do nothing, and anything that would hinder, Lord, their abiding needs to be dealt with needs to be forsaken, changed, whatever it is, so they may have confidence at your coming. So Lord, I pray you'd just encourage each of us, Lord, in yourself this night. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.